Today on Real Radio.
Psalm 119, verse 89. It says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." That means God's word never changes. Nothing's going to move it. Jesus backed that up by saying in Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth will pass away." But what did he say? "My word shall never pass away." Man.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called What Christians Believe. And what exactly do Christians believe? Well, it's all found in Scripture, God's written Word. That's the focus of today's program, which is simply entitled, About the Bible. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
There's a leftover, so to speak, of Adam and Eve in our lives. Creation itself speaks about the great knowledge that it reveals. Psalm 19, verse 3, concerning the heavens and the stars, says, "There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." I didn't know stars talk, but they must speak to man's consciousness, you think? Verse 4, "Their line has gone out through all of the earth, and their words have gone out to the ends of the world." Interesting. The heavens declare the glory of God. The creation model that the Bible argues about regarding inspiration, the Scripture, the inspired Bible, says that there was a creation. And if we look at creation, we begin to realize that it's very, very complex. It's very ordered. And so the Bible says God created the heavens and the earth. But what do we see? And we'll get on this more later. But what do we see when we look at the creation around us? Even though it's fallen, even though it's under the realm of sin, it is still speaking about the handiwork of God. We need to slow down, by the way, and start looking at what God's created. Then there's the evolutionary model. The creation model is intelligent design. And you need to meditate on that for a while. There's a lot of scientists who are not Christians today, but they're not evolutionists anymore either. They're of the intelligent design theory. Have you heard that? You're going to be hearing more of that in scientific arenas. The intelligent design theory. There's too much scientific evidence that has overwhelmed evolution. Evolution is history. Evolution's dead. There are schools, university, colleges, there's teachers that don't know anything about God, but they can't embrace evolution anymore because it's scientifically bankrupt. They hold to the intelligent design theory, meaning that there's something greater and bigger than us that designed all this because the evidence is overwhelming. Then there's the evolutionary model, which says everything's an accident. It's accidental design. You took two trains. I don't know where you got the trains. But you put them on a track and you run them together and a beautiful skyscraper comes out of that collision. Accidental design. You put dynamite in a box. You throw some metal in there and some plastic and some glass and you detonate it, and when the plume of smoke settles, you've got a Ferrari sitting out there in the field. That's ridiculous, but they want us to believe that the accidental design theory is correct, that somehow there was this massive collision of matter and energy and all, and given enough time, all the dust settled, and we laughed about the Ferrari, but listen, when the dust settled, there was life, and there was design, and there was all of the realms and all of the makings of DNA and all of these tremendous things that we know in the observable universe that we look at. Listen, it's either you are an evolutionist and you have more faith than myself and all these people combined, you would have to believe in the evolutionary accidental design theory, or you can say, I look around and I don't know anything yet about Jesus and I don't know anything about the Bible, but I look around and I see that the leaf that I can hold in my hand and hold up to the sunlight and look at its little veins and its little circuit of freeways of energy that flows through it, that this took a great design. You know, we can make a space shuttle and send somebody out in space, but we can't make a blade of grass. Think about it. God did that stuff. And I love his patent, you know, his patent number. You know what his patent number is? One. He's the only one who can do it. And if somebody, you know, saunters around you this evening and says, I beg to differ, we've created a lot of things in the laboratory, you have been duped. You can't create anything in a laboratory. I used to work in one. You can't create anything in a laboratory unless you have resources available to you to make something out of it. When the Bible says that God created, the scriptures tell us that God created something out of nothing. See, we can put you in a laboratory with a stir plate and a, you know, in an oven and whatever, a glass of milk for that. We'll give you the glass of milk. You know, we'll get you a head start. Here's a glass of milk. Make something. You can make something, probably be a mess. But God made something out of nothing. He's the creator. Creation speaks about God's greatness. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 23 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." What's their crime? "Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." What do they say? This. God's not real. God did not create. God does not exist. Jesus is a fraud. The Bible's not real. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The word in Greek is fantastic. The word in Greek paints this picture of a pot boiling on a stove, and there's a lid on it, and there's a man sitting on the lid while the pot is trying to blow off the lid. He's holding it down. Think about that. Isn't that a great picture? It paints that picture that God is coming out in all of his display of his creation, and there's a man sitting on the lid trying to keep it down. I love that picture. I can't hold it anymore. She's going to blow. Oh, yeah, she's going to blow. All the evidence is coming out. Let's say God doesn't exist. Let's just forget about God. That's one of our big struggles as people. Try to wiggle God out of our mind. Keeps coming back, but try to suppress the truth and unrighteousness. The Bible goes on there in verse 22 of Romans 1 that men profess themselves to be wise. I'm a professor to be wise. But they've become fools. And they've changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like, listen, corruptible man and birds, four-footed animals and creeping things. Did you hear that? Did you watch the order? Maybe you can watch my hand to watch the order. God. They degrade God by denying him. Then they degrade man. Then they degrade the birds, four-footed beasts, and then creepy things. If there was ever an evolution, it's the degradation and the value of human life. When you turn away from the inspiration of God's word and you don't believe it, you will go after the silliest stories you can imagine. So when somebody comes up and says, hey, you want to come to our party? We're going to talk about how we all climbed out of a primordial ooze billions and zillions of years ago. And it's very cool. We're all animals. We're not liable or responsible for anything. We're just animals. And we're evolving. So we can go and do whatever we want to do because we're not accountable for anything. We're just an animal. There's no morality. We can do what we want. We can become humanist. We can take life. We can do this and that. Because we don't answer to anybody. There is no God. And what happens is when God is no longer in your thinking, Romans tells us, that when he is dethroned in a man's logic, then man is devalued. Are you with me? Norman Geisler wrote in one of his great books, by the way, buy and read anything Norman Geisler reads or writes. It's fantastic. Norman Geisler says that in man's mind, when God dies in his mind, man dies. He did a study and found out at Harvard that in a poll that he took, people who were committing abortions and doing these things, in fact, they were doing research on human life, unsanctioned, secret biological experiments with humans. The justifying statement that was used among all these physicians and physicians-to-be, they did not believe in God. They could do whatever they want, like Frankenstein. They didn't believe in God. And that just continues down. They go, in Romans it says, to birds and to four-footed beasts and then creeping things. Pretty amazing. The inspired word of God, we see it revealed in creation. What we see in creation is in harmony with the Bible. Number two, miracles. Miracles are confirmations of God's inspired Bible. Exodus chapter 7, verse 5. Exodus 7:5 says, "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." Miracles. We have a tendency in the conservative Christian church, including this one, to downplay miracles. Why? Because so many people are following signs and wonders. You're not to do that. You're not to go follow a miracle. You follow the God who does miracles when and if he chooses. But according to the scripture, you can have creation speak to you about the inspiration of God's word, and miracles, the Bible tells us, speaks about God's inspired word. John 14, verse 10. John 14, 10. Jesus said, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak them of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works," or the miracles. "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." When someone, as we would see in the book of Acts and in the Gospels, when a miracle is done, it's to reveal the glory of God and the fact that God's word is inspired. How so? We know this, that when Jesus preached the word, you've read this in your Bibles, when Jesus preached the word, he often healed the people, didn't he? But what was his calling? What did Jesus primarily come to do? To preach, to teach people about God. The miracles spoke about the word. The miracles showed the validity of the word. Even today, in areas where there are no Bibles, there are great miracles being done. We've heard of great miracles done in China, where our missionaries Al and Cecil were at, where there were gospel Book of Acts miracles. Blind eyes being opened, men crippled all their life, able to stand and walk. There was no Bible, just preaching. But what did God do? He did a miracle to confirm the word. Deuteronomy 4, verse 34. "Has any idol ever tried to take for himself one nation out of all the other nations? By testings, by miraculous signs and wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or by a great and awesome deed, like all the things the Lord your God has done for you in Egypt before your very eyes? You were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord, he is God, and besides him there is no God." What was the thing that got their attention to understand that God's word is inspired? The fact that God did the miracles to confirm the very advent or preaching of his word. Another thing is Jesus Christ. The Bible is inspired by God in its revelation to us. How so? By Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he even made the worlds." Wow. In the last days, that was written 2,000 years ago. How does God speak in these last days? What is the confirmation of God's inspired word? Jesus Christ. Creation, miracles, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that God's done speaking, by the way, in revelation manner, in prophets or in priests, in Jesus Christ. When it says that he spoke in times past, but in these last days, has spoken through his Son, Jesus Christ. John 1, 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So Jesus is not only the Son of God come to earth, but he's the Word of God. And of course, what Jesus spoke was in fact the Word of God. And so we see that Jesus Christ himself is another form of revelation. Again, creation, miracles, Jesus Christ, and of course, finally, the Bible itself. The Bible itself. The Bible says of itself that it is the Word of God, and it's absolutely authoritative. And in Psalm 119, verse 89, this is a great verse. Psalm 119, verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." That means God's word never changes. Nothing's going to move it. Jesus backed that up by saying in Matthew 24, 35, "Heaven and earth will pass away." But what did he say? "My word shall never pass away." Man. Historically, the Bible has always been under attack, and that's okay. But what I have fun with right now, because, you know, if you think about it throughout history, if you've done any study on this, nations fear this book. You know that? I got to be careful. Mine's falling apart here. Nations fear this book. Communism hates this book. Did you know that? The Soviet Empire, the communist Chinese, Fidel Castro hates this book. Nations hate the Bible, scared to death of it. Communist regimes will search you and pat you down to make sure you're not bringing a Bible into their country. They'll tolerate other crimes, but if you have a Bible, you're going to prison. We know people in China who have been beaten. Elderly couple, they were beaten because their flat, their apartment in China was bugged. And you speak in codes. How's the weather? How's the weather has nothing to do with the weather. Everything was codes because the government's listening for fear you might be a Christian. One time, the people's police, the police of China, they came in there and they beat them with the ends of their sticks. Old couple. Nations fear the Bible. Communism hates the Bible. Closed societies forbid it. Isn't that interesting? It's just a book, isn't it? It's just a book. And all it is a little book of fables, a book that a bunch of people wrote. If that's true, if Satan's duping people on this side of the Pacific and the Atlantic, but he's thinking, think about it, he's thinking a different way in those other countries. Those people in those countries, including those leaders, they do not think it's a little goofy book. It changes people's lives. The Bible has formed society and nations. I did some research today on this. Did you know that in the founding of America, even before 1776, in the 1600s, for nearly 200 years in America, the Bible was the chief school book in all of our educational institutions, from the littlest ones in school all the way through to university. And if you were to graduate from Cornell, Yale, or Harvard, you had to have Bible first, Greek and Hebrew from Old Testament and New Testament. You had to know it. Bible was preeminent. On the logo of UCLA, it's an open book and it says, "Let there be light," taken from Genesis. Interesting. The Bible. Oh, it's just a silly book. It's not a silly book if you would just take the time to get into it and find out what it's all about. But I love this. In fact, I have a tendency to get a little ornery about this one. If it's just such a dorky, silly little book, how is it that it has survived as it has? How is it that no one is smuggling Playboy magazines into China? Come on, we got to get these things in. Pray that we get them in. But people are praying and smuggling and risking their lives to get Bibles into lands that it's not allowed. Wake up. Think about it. We are so blessed. We open up a refrigerator, food falls out. Same is true about our spiritual produce, so to speak, here where we live in the West. We can go to any church, Southern California. You know, a lot of people say, "Oh, I wouldn't live in Southern California. It's so pagan." You know what? That's true, it is. But I got to tell you, there are more right-on Bible-believing churches in Southern California, I guess, where there's a lot of darkness, there's also a lot of light. And you know what? We're blessed, man. We can turn on radio stations and hear sermons by ministries all day long. We're so spoiled. We get spoiled. I've already heard that message. People would die in other countries for one. They're gathered around, crank up little radio. They crank them up. The radio to get a transmission. Did you know that? Wow. The Bible. It's fantastic. And then there's the gathering together, the assemblage of the Bible, how we got our Bible. There are other religious books. How is it that they didn't make it into the Bible? The Bible, for it to be on your lap as it is throughout thousands of years, the agreement of other scriptures. For example, what's in the New Testament agrees with what's in the Old. Then there's extra biblical books that never made it in, the Apocrypha, other religious writings. They contradict the Bible. That's why they're not in your Bible. Various things that we'll look in more in a moment. Number two, second point about the Bible. The Bible is inerrant. It's not only inspired, it's inerrant. The Bible in its original languages has no errors in it. In English, remember, this is such a shock, that Bible was not written in English. Of course, God knows English, but he chooses apparently to speak in Greek and Hebrew and a little bit of Aramaic, Daniel chapter 2 to 7. But I tell you what, if you were going to paint a picture, speaking in English is like painting in black and white. If you're going to paint a picture linguistically, you'd want to paint a picture using Greek or Hebrew, the two most colorful languages in all the history of mankind. Did you know that? We say, oh, I just love how beautiful it is today. That's what we say in English. I love my dog. I love my wife. I love the day. I love my car. What do you mean? Well, you know, it's... In Greek and Hebrew, you got a word for every one of those things that applies. And the word you use for I love God and I love my car, let me tell you, buddy, they're two different words, I'll tell you that. It's amazing. The inspiration, yes, the inerrancy of God's word, it is pregnant with meaning and with accuracy. The inerrant word of God is so very, very important because it's how we have our assurance. When Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You know why you love that verse? Because it is the inerrant word of God. There's no mistakes in it. The Bible has been proven to be without mistakes. You say, well, my boss at work told me there's all kinds of mistakes in it. You have your boss produce one mistake, and the guy will be a billionaire. He'll be the most famous guy around. You look at people who launched out on their lives to discredit the Bible. They died bitter or they died saved going to heaven. Josh McDowell was one of them. Bertrand Russell hated God, hated Christians, hated the Bible. On his deathbed, he cried out screaming. And he says, man and all of his labors amounts to nothing, for death comes upon me pitless and dark. He screamed, kicking in his bed, and he died. And then you see Paul the Apostle and others who have followed in his place. Because of the inerrancy of the Bible, you can stand upon it. And Paul says, what is laid up for me is a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give me on that day. And not only me only, but to all those who have loved his appearing. Isn't that awesome? The inerrant word of God. It's inerrant because it's from God. God's perfect. He's not going to give something that doesn't match perfection. And the Bible is proven to be God's perfect word. You know what Albert Einstein said? Einstein said, God must exist because mathematics exists. These two are without error, and that's why they're so hard to understand. Isn't that great? Say, I hate math. Math's perfect, you know? Well, I kind of got it right. You kind of got it right. Can you imagine a NASA scientist? Well, you know what? We did our best. We kind of got the math right. Would you get into that thing? I'm not getting in that thing. You're not shooting me out in the space.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a study simply called About the Bible. It's an examination of how Scripture, our Creator's special revelation to His people, plays a major role in our faith. About the Bible. It's part of Pastor Jack's initial look into the series we call What Christians Believe, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, listen, if you're being blessed by Real Radio, you can visit us at realradioactive.org. And drop Pastor Jack a line. He really does love to get words of encouragement from listeners. RealRadioactive.org, and then just click on the button that says Radio Reaction. Type in your message to Pastor Jack, even if it's just a few quick words. You can also read what other folks have written like this one. Pastor Jack, I wanted to let you know that my husband and I listen to you on Grace FM 89.7. You are a true blessing in the morning. And we look forward to hearing God's word through you to start our day. Thank you. That's it. Short and sweet. Again, go to realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click Radio Reaction. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.